glad as night. So the light from the sun would not burn me on my bum when I shoot the moon.
Hill's got it. Driven into the ground with a pulverizing tackle from Ambrose. Oh, I think the Bombers are going to go up with it here. Bombers and runs.
Baby, you've been rolling solo. Time to get down with the team. The grass is greener on that other side.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windstock. With me, The Solution, and joining me today is Fiona.
Hello.
How are you going?
I'm a little bit under the weather, actually. I've got a bit of a chesty infection. I think it's just partying too hard after the win last week, you know, just went too hard.
I'm still hoarse from screaming at the end. Like, how many days later? It's...
That's how you know it was a good win.
Yeah,
I'm actually like, you know, all about footy, but I'm actually a little bit glad that it's an interstate game and I'm going to watch from home and just chill, because not that that's going to be any less stressful if it's the same kind of game, but feeling a little bit under the weather, but that's all right. I'm sure this will make me feel better, right?
It will. And so would a win, but we'll get to that down the track. Firstly, we've got the Chichicha changes. I've got a new segment, which I'm going to land on you.
Is this a new change? So wildcard out, new segment in, is it?
Wildcard sacked.
Oh, yep, okay.
Gone.
Jeez, didn't take us long. 4 rounds.
Oh, look, there's been lots of segments over the years that died. Shit Brother died. I don't know if you ever heard Shit Brother.
Yep.
Basically because we ran out of siblings. Then we had Shit Siblings. then we had Crap Cousins.
Okay. And, going through the whole family tree, right?
Yeah, that's right. But there were many, I can't remember who was the goat shit brother was Larry Watson.
I never know who that is.
Tim Watson's brother.
Oh, does he have a brother who played footy?
Had a brother called Larry.
But Essendon?
Yeah.
Older
brother. Yeah.
So he played first and then Tim came along.
He played first, and I don't know if you remember, but it was quite well known at the time. Job Watson's cousin actually died quite young. I think he died on the football field, and that was Larry's in South Australia. And that was Larry's son, I think. Yes, we've got a new segment. We've got the Sitting Joe, Smoking Joe. I got a Fiona's Couch question at the end, and we'll do the preview all in a pretty short space of time. So, Chichicha changes will be pretty easy. Sam Durham has entered the concussion protocol and so is out for a week. And thankfully, mercifully, Setterfield is in, which is a good in for us. Not quite like for like. They're both midfielders, but that might be where the comparison kind of ends.
I disagree. I think they're like for like. I think, I guess when I say like for like, I'm thinking the bigger frame, bigger body in the midfield in comparison to Merritt and maybe Parrish. I also think like for like in terms of the aggressive nature that they play. There's nothing quite finesse about either of them. They're quite, hard at the contest. So that for me is a like for like, and I think he's going to be really important this week. Whether he plays on a defensive role on one of their gun mids, or he acts as a buffer between Willem Drew and Merritt, who I know you don't watch football, but Willem Drew is their tagger, and so he's a very, very like lock it in, he'll go to Merritt. So whether he plays that defensive mama bear role to try and free Merritt up, or Brad Scott puts him on a defensive run with roll on Rosie or Butters, will be interesting.
Hey, you think I don't watch football? I'll land this on you, this statistic. Port Adelaide are the only team in the AFL with two Ollies on their list.
Wow. Thought you were going to come at me with a groundbreaking, mind-blowing, orgasmic statistic.
Did you know that statistic?
Fair enough.
I rest my
case.
The fact I don't watch AFL.
So it ticked one box. What, fabulous. Congrats.
Yeah, that was meant to be our little secret that I don't watch AFL much. But anyway.
I think, do you know what? I think you're safe. I think most people know.
Really? I thought I came across as a insightful, intelligent.
Hey, well, you're more than welcome to go back on your promise and do some editing and get rid of that bit if you want to keep the illusion alive.
No, not worth it. Anyway, here's a new segment. You ready?
Oh, okay. Yep.
We're going to give an award.
Another award?
Yep. It's called the Houdini Award.
Ooh, bit of Dua Lipa. I like it.
The Houdini Award is that a Dua Lipa song?
Well, yes.
How does it go?
I'm not. Oh no, you don't want to hear me sing, especially all chesty.
We've heard you sing.
Oh no.
I refer people to our.
No, don't you dare.
We are the Windsock.
No, didn't happen.
The Houdini is the lucky escape who probably should have been omitted and got away with it.
Oh, I like it.
And I'm giving you the first Houdini Award recipient.
So I'm assuming we just give this to one player. So we pick the luckiest escape. Okay. Well, quite clearly that for this week, that's an easy one for me. Menzi, I dare say it's your last chance, Jai, to really put some, just lay me a couple of tackles. I personally gave you the pass mark against Sydney. Because mm-hmm. you laid a couple of really good rundown tackles. Really good. Everyone else had dropped you. I gave you the pass mark for those.
So that's why you gave Devin Smith a Herder nomination for
exactly.
having five tackles and like one possession.
Absolutely. And I would do it again. I do
you stand
not.
Stand by it?
I stand by it till the day I die.
Okay.
Yep. You can write it on my tombstone. Fiona Rose gave Devin Smith. Write it in highlighter. But no, in all seriousness, Jai, just give me a little bit more because in my opinion, we do have a replacement for you. I know the argument is don't drop him unless there's someone to replace him. Well, I think we do have that in Davey. Mm. So, lift.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did say I was going to give the award, but...
Oh, you said, didn't you throw it to me?
No.
You did say, you're a liar.
I did.
You
said,
I'm going to give you the first Houdini.
Maybe I don't recall saying it, but mine was going to be Jai Menzi. So you've said it all for me. And by the way, well done for not calling him Jai Menzies. Like three of our podcast members did, and it seems like every other motherfucker out there calls him Jai Menzies.
I don't know.
For some reason. I don't know if it's because our Robert Menzies was a famous prime minister. I don't know. But yeah, he's lucky, man. He's very lucky to be in the team. I thought he was putrid. Last week, worthy Henneman recipient, and he needs to lift his game. Question for you is, will he be the sub?
I mean, I'm not sure he adds much from a spark point of view. I'm not sure. Although have we seen him as sub? I don't think we've actually seen him as a sub and come on and test.
I seem to recall it. He might have, but I can't.
I can't remember him being a sub personally. That's if I had my pick, I would start high and forward and give Hine the role down there to try and – because we know that Port, they've recruited really well in the back line in that they've recruited help for Alirelia. Alirelia was already good at his role already. Mm. Now he's got some distractions. So he's got – two other big guys there in Zerk, obviously, and Radigalia, who are going to free Alir up again, even more to do what he does best, which he was already really good at. So they're going to be pretty potent in the air, which means when the ball is on the ground, it's going to be very, very vital for us to score that way, personally.
Sorry, you go.
No, you go. Sorry, I was done.
I was going to say... We schemed for Alir quite well last year.
Yes, we did.
Until a certain Willy Rioli knocked out one of our players. Yeah, can we do it again?
I think we can. You know what, this game and every game I've watched Port in so far this year, this game to me screams as a use what your mama gave you game. On both sides.
Please expand.
Is that not self-explanatory? No, I'm kidding. So I just feel like both teams have quite elite positional players. And I just think Port have a really balanced team in that they all really excel in very specific roles. And they've got them on every line, in my opinion, specifically, obviously, their midfield. And I just think if we use what our mama gave us in that fiery intent that from the last few weeks, that competitive, contested footy, the heat, bring the heat. I feel if we use all those things that mama, but in this case, daddy, I guess, Brad Scott, has given us, then I feel like we're going to match up pretty well against them, personally.
Which inbred uncle gave us Joe Menzies?
Don't. That is so mean. Stop it. I believe in him. Have faith.
Yeah. Anyway, he's the recipient of the first Houdini Award.
Okay.
So...
congrats.
Well done. Well done, Joe. That's two awards in a row.
Oh, yeah,
that's right. You just went straight from a Henneman to a Houdini. God.
He's filled up his trophy cabinet.
He has. He has. Congrats. All right. So Smoking Joe, Sitting Joe. So for new listeners, we give who we think might really raise his level. He becomes the Smoking Joe and the Sitting Joe. A la Joe Danaher on the boundary line, sitting on the fence, is the guy who's going to, you know, disappoint.
Yeah.
Which one are you doing this week?
I've got the Sitting Joe this week. I nailed my Smoking Joe last week.
You did, yeah. Who did you have? You had, who was it?
You know, come I'm on. Doing, for podcast listeners, I'm doing the action. And
yeah,
he's
it's
not
great.
Putting...
it's great, yeah. Yep.
Well, tell the story. Hour. Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway.
So, all right. I'm going to call this a happy hunting ground for this man.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to recall he's played well at the Adelaide Oval. In fact, Adelaide falsely claimed he was a local, even though his town that he hails from couldn't, you know, he's basically halfway between Adelaide and Melbourne. Mason, I think Mason Redmond's going to have his best game of the season, which wouldn't be hard.
He's due. Yeah, exactly. I was about to say he's overdue. No.
Yeah. So it could be argued it might be easy for him to raise his level, but what do you reckon?
I was actually going to say he's the Sitting Joe, but let's hope he can't fall further then.
You can make him Sitting Joe. It's happened before. Haven't we done that before?
Oh, yes, we have once. Yes, yes.
Who was it?
Oh, I don't recall that far.
Probably Hines.
Got a pretty good memory. No. I don't know why, but my second to that, I was just going to say, and this is a reverse Moz, but I reckon I'm going to say Langford.
He played well against Port last. Yeah.
We can't really afford for him to have a Sitting Joe game.
Oh, hang on. So, are we still talking Smoking? Are you saying
no, you said he's the smoke? You said Redmond's the Smoking Joe.
Oh, no, I thought what you were saying is a second nomination to the Smoking.
Oh, no. Well, I'm not going to give it to Redmond because you gave him the Sitting Joe. I mean, Smoking Joe.
Okay.
So I'm gonna nominate Langford for the Sitting Joe. So as a reverse Moz, because we can't afford to... As I said, they've got a lot of aerial power.
Prowess.
In their back line. And so that we're going to need to really lower our eyes more than ever, if that makes sense.
We need to make them accountable, and we can't just get sucked into bombing it into that space that they'll have to peel off.
Yeah. Not going to work. Last week it would have worked because they don't have much aerial strength in the air. I reckon Wright would have towered up last week because their strength is their run once they have the ball out of the back line. But Port are kind of the opposite, actually. They're actually more of an old-fashioned football team, stacked with tall defenders. They've got tall forwards. That's what I mean by using what your mama gave you. They've really just created a very stereotypical football team on paper.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Question. So,
yep.
Just zeroing in on the Sitting Joe and whether Henneman could win it or not. problem, not Hedeman, sorry, we're not getting them mixed up. Langford.
Yeah.
Getting my awards mixed up. Langford, it's hard for him to win a. It'd be hard for him to win a sitting, Joe, I'd argue, because I guess he could just lead poorly. But
could drop
when, he doesn't get much of the ball, it's usually a function of the play further up the ground.
Yeah, you're right.
And also, sometimes he can only get five possessions, but he could score two goals.
Which is what happened. You know? Which game did that happen in? One of the games so far, they're all meshing into one already. But
against Hawthorn, he kind of had one
of those games. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, he could drop a few marks he should take. We know he's an absolute deadeye for goals.
Some shots.
You can miss those shots. So there are plenty. Don't worry. There's plenty of ways he could have a shocker. We just can't afford for him to, basically.
But I'm more for the reverse Moz.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I personally think we can get some ascendancy in the ruck, because whilst I don't think it was, we gained that much ascendancy last week, because I actually really rate Marshall really highly, but I don't really rate their ruck. And then they've got Finlayson, who's a forward, as their backup ruck. So I really think we're already doing well in clearances, as you know.
So who's their ruckman that's Ivan the Terrible?
Soldo.
Yeah.
Soldo, come over from Richmond. And I reckon Draper can eat him for breakfast by himself and then add Goldstein in. They should be able to do some work.
Hmm.
But actually, Port and Essendon are like the two best clearance teams. Centre clearance teams. So that's what I mean. Use what your mama gave you. Clearance prowess from both sides.
Yes.
Centrefield's going to be really important to protect and allow Darcy to stream through if Merritt is going to be sat on. Or maybe Caldwell plays a bit of a defensive role on one of their mids. Either or.
Who would you shut down if you had to select one?
That's a fantastic question, because I would have a lot of people disagree with me, but I personally would sit on Butters.
Hmm. Yep.
Personally, do you disagree?
No.
Do you rate Rosie higher?
I seem to see Zach Butters more.
Okay.
But maybe it's because he makes me think of the South Park character.
I was never allowed to watch South Park, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, rightly so. Good parenting. It's not a kid's show, but...
well, yeah. That's questionable.
Porn Francis is in. Do we do it for the travelling fans?
for Kane Corns?
Yeah.
Yeah, God. Oh, yeah, he's another fucking beast, but hopefully he's underdone. But what Ollie Wines is out, and that's a big out too, so, you know, give and take.
Hmm. So...
how do you think Zerk's going to go? Is he going to be full of confidence, or is he going to get nervy?
Yeah, it's a good question. I hope he gets nervy. I'd love him to be... You know, he was a very likeable player, I must say.
Beautiful player. As in, he scored off the charts on the rating, you know, on the well-known rating. Him and Marty Gleeson actually were the two that scored off the charts, 11, both 11s out of 10. So in that regard, it is very difficult to dislike him, very difficult.
Yeah,
but under the rules, he is a Judas, under the rules.
Correct. I'd love to see Harrison Jones to tail him up.
Yeah, it'd be a good match, both very athletic. I want to see him take him around. Yeah. Because, yeah, it's interesting because I wonder who Radigalia will get, maybe Langford, and then Alirelia will just roam around and do whatever he wants. Great.
Yeah, well, and that's exactly what you're saying earlier. We need to, our forwards need to be smart. They need to lead into space. We need to lead up the ground, drag defenders.
Yeah.
Make those guys uncomfortable and keep it in there if we can.
Yeah. Well, from what I saw on in the Melbourne game. And again, I don't look into stats pretty much. I listen to the podcast, but I don't look into stats. I just go by what my eyes. I just watch a lot of footy and listen to a lot of footy. So I just go and I have an opinion. So that's basically what I bring to this podcast. That's all I bring. And
it's more than most.
From what yes, this is true of this podcast anyway. From what I saw and from what I saw last year, they're very good at once they get it in their forward line, they actually press really, really well. And even if you do a dump kick out, they're just very good at getting it back in. So we need to give back some of that medicine, because if it pings out as much as it did, like it did last week, St Kilda kept us in it because they didn't score well. But Port, they've got dead eyes. Marshall's in very good form. If Ben McKay can take Dixon down from 5 goals to 2 goals, I'll be happy with that. But we'll see.
Well, let's go to, nice segue, who's going to win?
Look, I'm still going to, I still feel confident that we're going to win.
Yeah.
But I also don't feel confident. So I'm saying I'm calling a win with absolutely no confidence whatsoever, because I believe in them. And I believe in their intent and their contested hardness and their togetherness and their chemistry that's building. So I'm going to stick with my 14 points, but with absolutely no confidence. The big question is, have you swayed?
So for those who didn't hear it in the podcast, I said Essendon by 17.
You did.
And I was kind of still on a high from the night before. I have recalibrated.
Oh no! I knew you'd.
You know what?
Go back on you.
I'm tipping Essendon by 7 points.
So how is that? Is that different? Well, what you tipped?
I said 17.
Oh wow! Okay. So you're still tipping the win? Okay.
You know what? Momentum in any sport is massive.
It's true.
Momentum is almost the most important thing. And if we can take the momentum from that last quarter into this game, yeah, and the feeling, and I don't think we fear interstate anymore, travelling interstate. We do it so often anyway, like we're so used to it. But I don't know, as I said last week, Parrish another week under his belt, Setterfield back. Wish we had Peter Wright. I think that would have been – this really hurts –
yeah,
this week.
Yeah,
but
this week really hurts.
Yeah, I'm feeling kind of confident.
I like how you've given just that sneaky little 7, just to not send like just to not overpopulate the emergency rooms, like with heart failures from Essendon fans. You've given us that sneaky point, so when it gets down to 2 minutes. We still got that cheeky point under our sleeve.
Yeah, I knew exactly where you were going there. That's kind of exactly kind of what I'm doing, like less than a kick.
How generous of you.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like we'll be efficient again. I think that's going to be a real weapon for us this year. And it's because unlike the Joe Danaher years, we've got like class up forward, like people that don't shirk the issue. Harry Jones is a very good kick for goal also.
It's a great kick for goal. Yep. I think he's in the green. Like I think he's head to head, he's very good on that front. I really don't want to see him go backwards from last week. I need to see exactly the same from him. I know it's a different beast and he's gonna have a bit more of a trickier opponent, but I need to see him getting up the ground like he did, pressuring like he did, not getting outmarked like he did.
Yeah, look, I think he'll have a tougher time because of that aerial presence you mentioned for Port. But I just want a replication of the effort. If we just get the effort again, we get the second efforts, the tackling, the work rate. You know, he'll find, and maybe the penny dropped for him last week, he'll find when he works off the ball, on the ball, will take care of itself.
It's very true. If there was ever a blueprint for that, it was last week's game, because all of his rewards came from pure effort and pure intent. So, and I think that's the message. Well, not I think. That's the message Brad Scott's trying to get through to them. You could be having the shittest night ever, but if you were giving 120 minutes of effort, it is going to turn for you. It is going to switch at some point. If you can go home at the end of the night and you say you gave it for 120 minutes, the reward will come, because you know what? The opposition is going to take their foot off the pedal at some point. And if you're still going with the effort, you can go home knowing that you've given it all.
You know, I don't know that all footballers are the smartest cookies in the jar. You could probably say it to Harry, like a lot of young guys. Brad Scott could say that a million times to them.
Mm.
But it's not until they do it and feel the reward and see the reward and feel the emotion of, I'm sure after the game he felt fantastic. He was he was praised in the team room.
Yeah.
I think the moment I think the penny's dropped.
Something clicked. Something clicked. And I said it to you in the preseason game, didn't I? I said I saw a Harry Jones who something had shifted in his. But then he had a shit Hawthorn game, and I was kind of questioning that. But I saw it last week. Saw that exact penny I was referring to in that preseason game. Like something had clicked, and it was good for him to get the reward from it, to know what comes from pure effort. And we just need him to go on with it. Is the hard part, let's say.
Yeah. And he'll have ups and downs.
He will. But if he puts in that consistent effort, no one's going to question him if he doesn't kick goals, because you're going to see that he worked his bum off and he did exactly what the coaches asked him to. Do you subscribe to the opinion that we're at a loss, that the Melbourne Football Club and Essendon Football Club are actually at a loss this week because we play the South Australian teams? Yeah. So that's been a lot of whinging.
I think, yes.
Are we disadvantaged? Do you subscribe to that?
Yeah, we are.
Why is that?
Because we're playing a team that isn't travelling.
But we could be doing that anyway.
True. But if we're playing, just for this week, if we were playing, say, St Kilda, we're both travelling, advantage nullified because we're both travelling. The other way to look at it is if we weren't playing an Adelaide team, we might have to go to Adelaide another time to play Port. So there's probably sides of the coin there.
I don't subscribe to the disadvantage. I don't say, maybe I'm missing something, because I'm not gonna, you know, say that I'm seeing the whole picture. But I honestly don't see it one way or another. If anything, I'm just gonna see that there's gonna be more neutrals at the game, so they're gonna have a few less fans, and it's gonna be a bit less fortress-esque for them. That's how I see it.
It's still going to be feral, man. It's Port.
Of course it is, but this is gather round, and I know you hate it, but this is gather round, and I know a lot of people going to 6 or 7 games. Mm. So to me, there's going to be a lot more neutrals there. We already have a lot of fans, you know, in all the states, as I've said on the podcast before. So we'll have a great contingent there, but I don't know. I don't see it as I don't subscribe to the that this is the disadvantage. Even the media is ran with it when we got given this game, that Melbourne and Essendon were disadvantaged. But, yeah, it's interesting to hear.
Yeah. As I said, if it means we have to travel to Adelaide 1 week less than we would otherwise, it's good.
I think we go again, though, don't we?
Well, we play Adelaide. We play Adelaide, yeah.
I don't know if we play
them. But we could have played in Adelaide this week and Adelaide and Port.
But I think we do.
We don't play Port again away.
No.
That's right, yeah.
We play Adelaide, I think.
We play a maximum 2 times. It could have been 3.
Yes, true. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
My point. Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, we shall see. I'm feeling good. Like, we're two and one. Everyone assumed we'd be 1-2.
Hey, is it going to be me that needs to remind you this week that premiership's not won in April? Because I'm not used to, it's throwing me off. I'm not so Papley. Positive.
I'm not Papley. I'm not like slagging anyone off. I'm not drinking my own bathwater. Yeah, unlike okay. that little yeah. shit. I'm just this comment stands win, lose or draw.
Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty bullish about how we're shaping.
Yeah,
I thought there were some great signs against Sydney. Great signs last week. There's a lot of shit in between, but I think we can clean up these errors. We can clean up a lot of that shit.
I agree. Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to do with Martin learning this new role.
Yeah, he's got to learn quickly. He's got to cut out. But you can't give away another 4 or 5 goals.
No, but did he save that many as well?
Or
cause them or
contribute,
them?
Contribute yeah. to Western goals.
So
possibly.
I mean, it's hard to quantify in that respect, but yeah, I don't know. I think it could be, you know, contagious when one starts doing it, because yeah, watching that game again and again, it seemed like it was contagious. And I'm saying this because it was, again, repeating that it was just the most peculiar, just odd mistakes that you just would not even see from the Oz kickers at Oz kickers.
Yeah.
You know?
Fundamental.
Just like fresh, airy handballs. What? Like little, and it's not laziness. It's not, you know, it's not any of that. I just think it was a bit contagious. So I think if we can, but with risk comes a bit of potential for it to break down, and that's where we have to have the faith in the guys like Martin and McGrath, because they are trying to create some run off the half back for us.
Yeah, and then I think we said it last week with both of them, maybe we just need to live with a couple of errors. But your point with Martin's really good. It's like he's... What's it called? I think the four-colour theorem. Have you heard of the four-colour theorum? It's apparently the hardest question in the world, or equation in the world. It's like he's able to solve that.
Yes, exactly.
But then he can't just do some basic long division.
Like, yeah.
It's weird.
And as we probably just have to endure it for now. Right.
Hmm. Yeah.
Until it becomes chronic. Like, if we don't see little baby improvements, then I'll probably start to feel a bit worried and start to think he's lost confidence. Because the one thing that's good about him is that, you know, he didn't put his head down, you know?
That's true. Yeah.
You know, especially when you give away goals. As I said in the podcast on Sunday night, if Langford's doing something stupid, he's got, you know, 100 metres or 100, however big the, you know, the ground is, to firstly try and make amends of the error. But he can't afford to put his head down, Martin, and he doesn't. He kept going, and yes, he kept fucking up sometimes, but he didn't shy away from creating still.
Yeah, very true.
And I put McGrath in that boat too. You know, he cops a lot, but I put him in that boat. He doesn't shy away from, and he doesn't put his head down.
No. Want to do a couch question?
Yeah.
Before we go?
Yep. Let's do it.
All right. So, Fiona's couch. This is where listeners send in questions generally related to their life and ask Fiona for advice. Do you want to go a bit dark?
This is free therapy.
Yeah, it is. It is. Absolutely free therapy. If
times are hard.
Unless you say, like, there's a ghost in my house, I'm mortally scared, help, and then you don't get answered for 8 months or a year.
I think that's going to go down as one. That's my favourite so far this year. That is. I think of that often, actually. It's just so funny.
All right, you ready?
All right, okay.
This is not so funny. This is a little bit, as I said, a bit dark.
Okay.
Found out my girlfriend is cheating on me. How should I break it off with her so it hurts her?
That's...
Bow.
I mean, firstly, condolences. How'd you find out? I want to know. Can you follow up and tell me, message me again or send a NGR? I want to know how you found out. No, this is about love. This is not about hate and rage. what you need to do is you need to take that rage, mm-hmm. but it's not about her. It's about the betrayal and the abandonment and the rejection that she's made you go through. So that's where your rage is. It's and getting back at her, let me tell you this, is not going to actually take that rage away. What's going to take it away is you going to the gym, getting a slam ball, slamming away, get on the ropes, the battle ropes. That's what I do. I actually bought a slam ball in COVID, during COVID.
What's a slam ball?
A 10-kilo slam ball. And you do, you raise it, slam up. Yeah. And during COVID, just obviously as a workout thing. And now it's become one of my best things in addition to going to the gym.
Surprised to know I've never picked one up.
You just frequent the sauna, but you never actually, you know, take a wander on down to the fitness center.
These guns are natural, can I say?
But it's actually been so good because if ever I have a day where I need to just, or I'm filled with the rage and I want to just hurt somebody, I just get a few slams in and I redirect where I know the rage is coming from, and it's usually coming from a more emotional place. So I'm just going to say that as much revenge as you want, and you deserve it. Let me tell you that, because she's scum. I'll tell you that, you know, and you didn't deserve the hurt, but you probably, revenge is not going to take that pain away is at the end of the day. So you could hurt her, you could chop her up into little itty bitty pieces, and you could dance on her grave, and I kid you not, you'll wake up the next morning and you'll still feel disgusted about yourself. You'll still feel
I reckon if you do chop someone up into little pieces, you'd be a psychopath not to feel that. But you'll also probably wake up next to Bubba
Which one's the one where you do the wrong? Is it sociopath or psychopath where you do the wrong thing but you know it or some shit? Yeah. Anyway,
I think it's sociopath. Is the one without any emotion, is that right?
The point is, it's not going to take away your pain. What's going to take away is putting that pain into something physical and having a release, because I say this every couch, all your pain wants is to be seen by you so it can dissipate. That's all it wants. And if you're picking up that slam ball, you would just put her head in your mind on the slam ball, envisage her head, and then slam it down. I'll give you the song that I do it to, and this song is a perfect slam ball or battle ropes song. It's by Eminem and Little Wayne. It's called Drop the World. And it will get you through the hard times. I promise you this. Promise me that you will download it and you will listen to it and you'll get on the ropes and you'll drop the world on her head, metaphorically.
Love it. Can I give you an alternative view?
Uh-oh.
You know,
after your advice last week, I'm going to have to veto. I'm allowed to veto your advice.
My advice was good.
I've brought in this caveat to the couch. I reserve the right to veto your advice.
Yeah, it's your couch. So that's always been the case. But, you know, I'm here to provide alternative views. For this one, I'm going to go to the Church of Al Bundy.
Oh, no.
From Married with Children. Now, I don't know if you're probably too young to have ever watched any Married with Children episodes. No. Do you know who Al Bundy is? You never seen a Married with Children episode? My God.
No.
You need to get online. It was like a...
Isn't Bundy the serial killer?
That was Ted Bundy.
Oh, yeah. I thought Bundy... I was going to say, I know a lot about true crime.
No, Al Bundy was...
This is a different Bundy. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
The Bundys were the first anti-family. You know how The Simpsons is kind of like a bit of an anti-family?
I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons. I don't know.
What the fuck was your childhood? You weren't allowed to...
Anyway, I know. Are you going to give a bit of insight as to why I have a couch here?
things are coming out. Anyway, for people who know Al Bundy and Married with Children will appreciate this, but Steve's the next-door neighbour, and he used to come and sit on Al's couch. Al hated his family, hated his wife. Hated his life, but he used to dish out this advice to Steve. And one day Steve found out that his wife had been, I think she was dating a stripper, like a male stripper, and it was because she'd left a wedding ring at the strippers or something like that.
Okay.
And Steve was like, what am I going to do? Do I leave her? And Al was like, Steve, this is the greatest thing ever to happen to you. Steve is like, what? You can now do whatever you want. You want to go away for the boys on the weekend.
Oh, payback. Yeah, okay.
You want to, whatever you want to do, you can now do. So that is an alternative view.
Oh, sorry, if that wasn't implied, well, yes, you should dump her ass and then go do what you want to do. Sorry, that was implied.
You stay with her.
Why? So she can cheat on you again.
So you can do whatever you want. That was Al Bundy's advice, not mine.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Because anyway, if she's cheated on you, I dare say that that relationship is, and it's reached its finale. But I would take that advice, but I would break it off first. And then I'd go and book a trip to Vegas or something and have some fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's that one done. So keep them coming.
Yep.
Well, how do they do it again? How do they submit a question?
I still have to post a link on Twitter, but the NGL app, you can put them there anonymously. So all those ones have come through anonymously, and that just obviously makes the person feel a bit more comfortable, and we're totally good with that. So,
but where do
or
they
you can just DM. Tweet? I'm going to tweet the link.
Okay, you tweet the link. All right, perfect. Yep. Okay. All right. Well, that's kind of it for the couch. Friday night footy. Pretty excited. Both tipping a win. We're either going to be very happy come Saturday morning or...
I'm only going to be upset if there's no effort and if it's a total opposite jigsaw to the one we've seen for the first three rounds. As I said to you, I didn't feel sad or sick after the Sydney game. I just felt obviously annoyed at the players, but as in the Sydney players. But in terms of my opinion of our team, I was buoyed. So the only reason I'll feel terrible Saturday morning is if I see a complete retreat from what we've been doing.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see that because the hallmark of the Scott side is the effort. I'll be disappointed if we kind of revert to just getting swamped again in the transition.
But should we just expect that? It's going to happen.
Well,
we haven't tidied that up yet. We can all see that.
But I guess what I want to see is more of the last quarter against St Kilda. You know, retaining it in our forward line, the effort.
But personally, I thought that had a lot to do with St Kilda as well. I thought we survival of the fittest. Yeah, I think it was a survival of the fittest. And I think they stopped running and stopped pressing and stopped, in their tackling personally. So I think, I don't know if Port's going to give us that.
Well, maybe, as you said, more of a traditional team.
Yeah.
They tend to more kick to contests. Maybe it will be a slightly different game. But anyway, we're about to find out. So
not long.
No, that's right. So thanks to everyone that listened. Check out the sponsor, Something About Cake. Thanks for all the great feedback, by the way, that we've had so far this year for the couch and also the podcast.
Fun.
And yeah, it is great fun. And we'll see you on the podcast Sunday.
See you guys.
Go Bombers. From the sun with not burning on my bum when I shoot the moon. Hill's got it. Driven into the ground with a pulverizing tackle from Ambrose. Oh,